Welcome. It's 5:31. Would you stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Recording in progress.
Thank you. All right. We are, we're swearing in the board members.
Just yet. You wasn't here.
Yeah. Welcome to the board. We're going to swear you in now. Curtis?
You going to swear at me?
Yep.
Just then, you got paper in front of you, so you follow along, but raise your right hand. I and state your name.
I, Jeff Turley.
Having been appointed to the office of board member.
Been appointed to the office of board member.
To the Board of Trustees for the Cache Valley Transit District.
To the Board of Trustees for the Cache Valley Transit District.
Do solemnly swear that I will support, obey, and defend.
That I do solemnly swear that I will support, obey, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of this state.
And the Constitution of this state.
And that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
And that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity.
Welcome to the board. Do you sound okay? Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. It's official. Glad you're with us.
Thank you.
The consent agenda is in front of you, including the approval of the minutes, approval of minutes from January 24th, and notice of the next meeting on March 27th. Accept a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second. Jeff is our second. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Is there any opposed to that? No? Okay. Open it up for public comments. We're going to move on. I don't hear or see any public today. Let's go to the board business. Dave Geary, will you give us an update on the facility?
I will. Can you pull that up for me? Very good. So that's conceptually what it's going to look like when it's done. So show us the next one. This is what it looks like now. So there are a couple of things. The amount of water that we're getting has delayed the timeline, and so it's not going to be done when we thought it would be done, but it's not going to be significantly pushed back. But we're on budget expense-wise, and we got really good news from the legislature. Can we talk about that?
Sure. No, wait until the next section.
Well, crossing our fingers, the legislature gave us $5 million of the $8 million that we asked for. So that then goes back into our fund balance that we can use for operations, so we don't have to use it for capital expenditures, which helps out a lot, gives lots of flexibility, and so that's a good thing. So let's just keep going through here. You can see there's lots of water, but there's lots of work that's been done and is currently being done, and they're doing everything they can in their power to keep us on schedule without creating problems down the road because of the water that's on the site.
How are they going to keep water from causing problems in the future?
We have this huge retention basin and storm drain system. The problem is that it's not hooked up, and so the water doesn't really have any place to drain. But it will get there. So we have walls going up inside as well. And that's a look from the roof. And there is the whole site from the southeast corner. And the south, is that the southwest corner? And we're back to the beginning. Anybody have questions? Okay, we're moving.
Thank you. Great update. That's exciting. Okay, if that is all on the facility, let's move over to Sean and talk about some changes from the steering committee. Maybe tell us what the steering committee is first.
The steering committee is... That is a good question, Patrick. the steering committee works with envisioning where the board, where the service goes,
or CBT administration kind of prioritizes going forward, where the rubber hits the road. We'll call it that.
Very much an operations element of the board, right? So we're looking at quality control, we're looking at efficiency of routes, we're looking at rider satisfaction, those kind of things.
Yeah, we're kind of
okay.
All things that. So.
So you've had your first meeting, tell us about it.
Yes, Ron and Jeff and I are on the steering committee. Had our first meeting where we went over what we're about to see, and the whole board will kind of see that and approve that. And then we also were talking about going forward, maybe presenting to the board some work that Aaron and I started a few months ago about kind of what it takes to make changes to the routes and to service. That's an important question that you all get from your stakeholders. So. Okay, is that good? Thanks. So I can just do a spiel. This brings us back to our, what do we call it now? Not the bylaws, not the policy governance, but basically our rules of our service standards. And so when the administration makes changes, they keep this in mind. And so on this first page, we have kind of how, what they, who they have to talk to, what they have to keep in mind, and then we change it to the second, next slide, I'm sorry.
Go back up. There you go, those first two slides.
Those two, thank you. Yes, oh, did I skip the first one?
Yeah, the first one, we already have number two, sorry.
Oh, okay. So, 2.1.1, we want the standard of service to be, better or equal to peer. We want safety and reliability considered, and it must be within our service area. That's 2.1.3. And then require feedback from citizens and those involved. That's 2.1.4. Let's go to the next one. Thanks about that. And then we move to 2.4, which are again about community engagement and zero fare service. So these are just kind of the standards that they operate within as they make changes. And then Todd is going to give us the presentation of the change they're going to make.
Sure. We can go to the next slide. So again, as Sean said, we pull back to those guiding principles that you've given us. So as we go through this route realignment, you're going to see us focus on route safety, which is one of those guiding principles, focus on reliability, specifically making those connections at the transit center. So again, every 30 minutes, every 90 minutes, the buses come into the transit center, and the goal is that they try to make connections, right? So someone can transfer from Route 2 to Route 7 or wherever they need to go. We also are looking at how do we increase access as we've had new development. And then the board's kind of, over time, set a standard of within this urban core. So right now this is focused on Logan's urban core, to maintain a 3-block standard that most people are not going to have to walk more than 3 blocks to get to a bus stop. And so those are kind of the areas that we're focusing on with this route realignment. We'll go to the next slide. And please stop and ask me questions if you have questions. So first, we're focused on route safety. So currently, our Route 6 goes through, you see over here on the right-hand side of the existing, as it goes along 400 South, it crosses right in front of the fairgrounds, on the north side of the fairgrounds, if you will. And as the fairgrounds have increased in just events that are there, as the county has improved the fairground area, there's more and more events there, specifically some things that we deal with, Cache County Fair, the car show, things of that nature. That's a very narrow street, 300 South, and so we get cars parked on either side of that street. Mm-hmm. And so as we're going past that area, it becomes a very kind of dangerous situation. You have kids running in and out of cars. It's just a problem that way. So what we're proposing is that we would bypass that. We would still not miss any stops. We would still be able to serve the stop at the Logan Aquatic Center, which is the stop for the fairgrounds for those events. Again, that's within a half a block of the fairground entrance. But it keeps us from having to go down that road. So that's one of the proposals. Next slide. So again, this is again on Route 6.
It's up north. Which direction is north on this?
Yeah.
So I'm sitting a mile away.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. So Route 6 as well, this is down 10th West. You see there between about 200 South and 600 South. Currently, if you look on the right, existing, the bus goes in a counterclockwise direction. And so Woodruff Elementary is to the south of the bus route. So the kids will have to get off and then cross 600 South. Now, there's a crossing guard there, so it's good that way. But what we're proposing is that we would change the direction of the route, and so the route would then go clockwise. Is that right?
You're going clockwise.
Yeah. So
follow the moving mouse.
So it would make it to where the bus stop would now be located on the south side of 600 South, so that the kids wouldn't have to cross the street. Again, elementary school, we just feel that's a safer situation. Go to the next slide. So now we move to, so those are a couple of safety aspects of this modification. Now transfers. So again, same thing, Route 6, fairgrounds. That's going through that is also unsafe, but it also affects our reliability. Route 6 is one of our longer routes, and so again, having to slow down during those types of events really impacts our ability to make time. Versus, again, if we go back to, we're bypassing that section of the route, it will help us from a timing perspective. And that will allow us to be more consistently on time at the transit center. Next slide. So this is, you can see those, that route from as it is currently existing on the right to what we're proposing it to be. So it covers similar area. We get a little bit of a new area. That's there's a community there just north of 200 South, which is we're a little closer to. Okay, go to the next slide. And so this is Route 7. So Route 7 currently comes down 100 West, and then you can see on the right on existing, it takes a right turn and then turns onto Main Street. On 300 South. 300 South is a busy intersection. I told the committee, you know it's a busy intersection when there's a Maverick on either side of 300 South, right? So that means there's a lot of traffic. Yes. So even though it's a controlled light, there's times where we have to sit in that light cycle for multiple cycles just because there's so much traffic. Mm-hmm. And so what we're doing is we had to wait until 100 West was built out, and now 100 West is built out. In the proposed, what we're doing is we're now keeping Route 7 on 100 West, not putting it onto Main Street. And then what it also allows us to do is we're able to move the Route 7 to where we can go serve Zutaw and Willow Park, which for years that's been a request. We just didn't have the time to do that, the ability to do that. Now this is helped, again, by the fact that the infrastructure's gone in with 100 West. That's a new road, and then by the fact that the loop now serves Main Street. So we're not missing any stops on Main Street. The food pantry on Main Street is a busy stop for, you know, Route 7 and the loop, but the loop can continue to serve that. And so, again, we're not impacting any stops from a negative standpoint in this change, and we're actually adding a stop with Willow Park and Zutaw. So, all right. Next slide. Okay, so this is Route 8. Again, Route 8 is one of our more challenging routes from a timing perspective, just because it's a long route. And you can see, looking at existing and proposed, that's a quite a bit different as far as length. And so this will allow us to make Route 8 much more of a reliable route from a timing perspective. Okay, go to the next slide. So now we're moving to increased access. So again, this is on Route 8. Currently, if you look on the existing, that section there, yeah, where the mouse is, that is where the Meadows apartments have gone in. There's a significant number of apartments there on 200 North, just west of 600 West. And with this change, we would be able to serve on 200 North. We're going to stay on 200 North and rather than turning. So currently, the closest stop for those apartments is on 6th West at about, what would that be? I'm guessing, what is that, Joey?
170 North.
Right? Yeah, 170 North. So folks actually have to cross 6th West heading south. There's railroad tracks there. It's a busy road, right, to get to those apartments if they're trying to ride the bus. Where with this change, now the bus will actually drop them off on the north side of 200 North, and so it's right there where the apartments are. So safety increase as well as serving that new apartment complex. Go ahead and the next slide. So again, this is Route 7. We kind of mentioned this already. We're able to serve now Willow Park and Utah with this change. So again, just something we've heard from the public over the years for some time that we're able to make that change now. Next slide. And then this is something that we've done. Route 9, this is out on the kind of northwest portion of Logan out there at, what is that? Is that 2500 North? 1800 North, yeah, 1800 North. There was some construction out there, and so we diverted, and we've been doing a detour for quite some time, and it was very popular with the residents out there, and so we're proposing that it becomes the permanent part of the route. So we're serving the same area generally, but again, we're coming down through the middle of that large block now. A lot of apartments there, so we're able to put the stops a little closer for the apartments there. Mm-hmm. And so we're proposing to make that change.
Lots of apartments there.
Lots of apartments. That's in Dave's neighborhood, so he understands that, yeah. Okay, next slide. So these, you can kind of see these changes. So these are the routes that are affected. So it'd be 6, 7, 8, and 9. Again, with these changes, everyone's still within 3 blocks. Everyone that's impacted by these changes are still within 3 blocks. And so we feel that we're still meeting that standard. We're serving some new areas. We're improving the overall safety and reliability of these particular routes. And so we think this is going to be a good change. And so if you go to the next slide, what we're proposing, part of what you have in your 2.1.4 is that we have a clear process for the public to provide feedback, and that we're informing the public. And so what we're proposing is that if you're good with this, we would move forward to opening a 30-day public comment period. We'll make some survey accessible to folks that they can either access that online, scan a QR code with their phone, or we'll have like a paper copy at the Transit Center for folks that don't have technology. Mm-hmm. And we'll get public input on this, asking them such questions as where are their destinations in these routes and things of that nature. We would then, after that 30 days, evaluate that public input, see if there's anything we missed. I mean, the public sometimes can help us, hey, you missed this, or what about this? Go back, evaluate that, then come back to the board with that public input for final approval, and then look at doing some type of implementation by August 5th. And so we feel like we have sufficient time to do all of that and give the board still time to evaluate.
Can you explain to the board the cost of this?
So from our standpoint, this is a cost neutral. I mean, there will be a little bit of cost. We'll have to put in a couple of bus stop signs and things of that nature. But as far as an ongoing service cost, this is cost neutral. We're just reallocating routes, and so we're not adding any buses or drivers for this. Good question.
How do you notice the public about this comment period and make them aware of it, especially the riders?
So we got a couple of things. So we'll put this out through the app. Hopefully we have people that downloaded our app. We're going to put a QR code on the buses so that they, when they're on the bus, and we'll have passenger alerts. We'll push it out through our Facebook page. Like I said, we'll have notices at the transit center and paper copies there for people that don't have technology. So we'll use all of our various streams to put this out. We'll even use some of our radio ads. We'll transition that and let people know that we're doing that. Because we want to get input. I mean, that's definitely something we want.
So that would be the earliest that the implementation would take place. The earliest would be August 5th. So we wouldn't be able to do it sooner. I'm just saying, like, before the cruise in and the fair and all. Well, the fair obviously would be before that, but the cruise in and...
That's a great point. So we try to target similar time frame for doing modifications. Every year we try to do it around that first part of August, just because we have students and whatnot, and we like people to know that's when we're doing those changes. It takes a lot to make these changes. I mean, just for some of these bus stops, they're on UDOT right-of-ways. I mean, the whole permitting process on that can take 90 days, to more, you know, and so I don't think we're going to get it done before August 5th. I think we have sufficient runway that we can get it done on August 5th, and so that's kind of what we're shooting for.
Well, that's good.
It's a good question.
So you're not taking away any stops, so you don't have to hang a sign on that stop saying that this stop's going to disappear.
We are moving a couple stops. Again, there are some stops on Route 6 specifically at Three Point Avenue that people are going to have to move, but we notice folks and we'll say, you know, if we approve this, then we always give plenty of notice that, hey, this stop is moving, and we point them to where that stop's going to be. So, yeah. But generally speaking, there's not very many stops impacted.
Right.
That's pretty impressive. There's only a few. And again, we're still within that 3-block radius that we try to hold to.
Hey, Ron, do you have any questions? Sorry.
Oh, I'm good. I went through this with the presentation to the committee.
Okay, well, we're just going to call you out every so often to make sure you're getting your voice
heard. Keep me awake.
Just want yes. to make sure you're getting all input, please.
Yes.
I was supportive of all of this. I think they're all good news. So.
Thank you. Other conversation? Go ahead.
A couple quick things. One of the nice things about the chamber is that, you know, sometimes if a route goes out and then back in, you know, let's say I live 2/3 of the way through that route, I don't want to have to go on the way back home. I don't want to loop all the way back and catch it on the way in. And the changes they made, you can still get off and walk a block or two. And so you're not, it's enough of a inconvenience to change people's minds if they can get in quick, but then getting back home takes double the time, you know. So I that doesn't happen on these. And then the other neat thing is, our policy, and this is what I forget, Todd, but I think when 30% of a route is changed in either time or location, the board must approve it.
Right.
So you saw, he mentioned that there are a few small changes they've already done to adapt to traffic or road closures or something. They can do that any time, but if it's a large enough change, then we must approve it eventually.
Yeah, and part of that is your public input process, and so. I mean, we definitely want to make sure we're involving the public in this and getting that input so that we can come back to you and, hey, here's what we've heard and here's how we address that.
I'm excited for these changes. It'd be great.
So we're not tentatively approving this tonight. We're just, this is a report.
Yeah.
We're doing a motion, right?
You don't need to do a motion. This was more just to tell you, okay, we want to move forward with this. I mean, obviously, if there was some major heartburn, we would take that, but what we're going to come back to you for is the final change. The final change, you will definitely need to approve that. So,
great.
We're still in this process of gathering data, and part of that is the public input.
Okay. Really good feedback. Thank you.
Okay, let's move on to the management report. Let's talk about the triennial review.
Sure. So I just wanted to, you know, this only comes around every 3 years, and we've got some new board members, and so I just wanted to go through that with you. So every 3 years, the federal government does what they call a triennial review, and they look at 21 areas, Curtis, 23 areas that they essentially come in and review. You know, it's not technically an audit, but yeah, it's kind of like an audit, right? So they come in, and what I kind of wanted to explain is just this is a significant project that takes a significant amount of time. So we started this in January with our initial meeting with the reviewer, and we have to submit, you know, a couple hundred pages of documents, and so essentially we're going to have several touch points through this process starting in January. Then they send us this big document. In each of these categories, we need to see this, we need to see that. So we then have to gather all of those documents. In the same time, we need to make sure that we're compliant, that everything is where it needs to be. And unfortunately, things always change. So what we do is we send Curtis and sometimes Mindy to the triennial review training the year before the review and then the year of the review, just so that we're trying to understand what's changing, what's the focus. Every year or every triennial review, there's different focuses that they're looking at. And they base that on what they're seeing across the country, or where are they finding findings, where are they seeing issues, how do we tidy things up. So we started that process. we'll get all the documents to them. They then do what they call a desk review, and they spend some time. Well, during that desk review, they're still engaging with us and saying, hey, got a question on this. Can you clarify this? Or, hey, do you have any other documentation? We need to look at this. And so this goes on until we do the actual on-site review, which is in July. We have that scheduled for July 9th through the 11th. We'll do a couple of days with them actually being on-site. Then they're actually looking at documents we have on-site, facilities, vehicles, different things. So that's a couple day process. Once that's done, then they'll issue their initial findings or their initial report, their draft report. And then we start working through that. And we're going to have what they call findings. We always do. I will say credit to Curtis and the team. I mean, our average has always been below the region's average when it comes to the number of findings. So then we have to fix those. We have to correct those, right? I anticipate we're going to have higher than we've had in the past just because we're building a new facility. This is a big project. We're engaged in a lot of things that we typically aren't engaged in. So I anticipate we're going to have a few more findings. So then we work through that. Essentially, we're probably going to get closed out with this September, October. And so I just want to explain that. We're going to be engaging in this pretty much most of this year. And so it's quite an extensive process. So I just wanted to walk you through that. Again, every 3 years we go through this, but it's been a while since we've done that, so I just want to explain that process to you.
Right.
Any questions?
No, from what I can recall, those things that need to be fixed are fairly minor.
Yeah. We've been very fortunate. We've been very fortunate.
So this review doesn't include financial or internal control stuff, is that correct? Or is that part of it?
Satisfactory control, I would say. I'll let Curtis talk about the specifics of that. He's been working on satisfactory control.
This is comprehensive, and so it goes... I'm sorry, we're not... Make it easier on people's necks. Like I said, there's 23 sections, so this is comprehensive. It goes all the way with how we work with other local governments. So our CMPO, all the way through programming, how we maintain our buses. It goes all the way through how we maintain our facilities. The satisfactory continuing control is how we maintain our assets, how we run the program. It does include financial aspects. So we have to give financial projections showing that we have adequate funds. They like to see all the way out for 5 years. And so... this is comprehensive all the way across. I think in the hospitals, what do they call it when you go to...
It's called the Joint Commission.
Yeah, the Joint Commission.
And they come every 3 years and everybody sweats bullets. And but it's a comprehensive review of all of your processes with a focus on quality and patient safety, those kind of things. And so I'm guessing this is the transit district's equivalent of a visit from the Joint Commission.
Very similar. It touches on how we treat ADA, Title VI, all these policies that we bring to you. They review it to make sure we actually are doing those things. So, yeah, David, if that gives you an idea of what it's like, that's what it's about.
Okay. That helps.
It's a big scorecard for me.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So.
Yeah, cool. You want to talk about...
Yeah, slightly? Would you?
So Dave mentioned this. We found out that if you remember, we initially started with an $8 million appropriations request with the legislature. Senator Wilson has been kind of carrying it for us. So this is what they call a socks and underwear year at the legislature, meaning that... That's what they refer to. So,
it's just so graphic.
Yeah, yeah. there's really nothing available, right? And so quite frankly, Senator Wilson has always been very candid about where we sit, and he's like, I just don't know. I don't know if we're going to be able to do it. We've had Representative Steiner as well on the House side helping us, but Senator Wilson really has gone to bat for us and he found the money within his committee for $5 million. So it's not the eight, but it's five. And that is significant because, it does allow us to complete the facility and allow us to have some funding that we're going to need for future capital replacements such as buses and things of that nature. And so this is a significant thing. And I would encourage you to send Senator Wilson a thank you email, text. If you need contact information, I'm happy to provide that to you. And Representative Snyder as well. But Senator Wilson, really, I just can't say enough. I mean, this is not an insignificant thing. This was a big deal. He really, really did fight for us on this.
How's it looking on this House side?
So it's done. It's been.
What is,
it's,
okay.
Yeah, they passed the appropriations bills a couple days ago. So it's a done deal. So anyway, and just like I said, I'll get you contact information if you'd like to reach out to Wilson.
That would be great.
Please do.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Was there any strings on that, or just general funding?
Yeah, there's always strings with any funding, right? So this has to flow through UDOT, and so we're in the process of, you know, we'll get with UDOT. There'll be some type of interlocal agreement or contract that we have to enter into. There'll be reporting that we have to report back on how the funds are spent and whatnot. But we haven't started that yet, but that's something that we'll set up and get done. So technically, the funding's not available until July, so we have now, between now and July, to get all of that in place.
Okay, great. Thank you for the update on all those things. In the end, here we are, the board chair report. First, I want to recognize Mark Christensen. He is a member of our maintenance tech team. He's been with us for 14 years. And as a sub note to that, pay attention to how many people we have with longevity. It says a tremendous amount about the organization and the management of the organization. We have longevity working here, so that is really great. Second thing I want to talk about is each of you have an email, cbtdboss.org. Is everybody set up?
I'm not.
We're going to help you get that set up if you're not set up. And then can we also get a one-pager on how to set the push function?
Sure.
So it goes to devices.
Yep.
We need you to use that as your primary communication on all CBTD things. So all the future meetings, all the notices, that's going to go to this email. It's critical just because if there's a public information request, you know, we don't want to take your computer from you. We'd rather just download it from the servers of CBTD. So please utilize that, make that your primary mode of communication when you're acting as a trustee. Any questions on that? I get the concerns, the setup's a little something to do. I can't even figure out the forward feature yet. That's why I'm asking for the one pager. But it can be done. I'm looking for feedback on this next one. Committee assignments. Everybody okay with their assignment? You know, we didn't arbitrarily make those assignments, but we didn't really seek much feedback beyond that. So if somebody doesn't like what they're doing, let's just talk about it. We can't have more than four people on a committee.
Yeah.
And so, you know, most of them are made up of three. They're somewhat strategic in purpose. Budget's very, very obvious. Steering committee, we talked about that. That's a really exciting one. Legislative committee, just to talk about that a little bit. We really need that, to call it very candidly, a sales and marketing arm, to continue to engage elected officials and stakeholders of the system. And it needs to be very forward-thinking and very engaging with other people. So that's what the purpose of that is. So any questions, concerns about committees?
Yes, thank you for doing those assignments. But am I correct in that we're welcome to go to other committee meetings if we want? We're just not a voting member.
As long as there's not four, more than four.
Yeah.
Yeah, otherwise.
So now you represent, you're a voting member, so we can't have a quorum. We
can't have a quorum. Okay. Ah, that's why. Okay.
Yeah, it's a public meeting at that point. So, good question. Any other conversation, topics you want to discuss on that topic? Okay, last thing I wanted to mention, it's not on here, but I'm just ad hocing. Really great work to Todd and to Curtis on getting that funding. If you look at that the capital budget so far, I think they've gotten $21 million, is that right, in federal and state funding for this? Is that about right?
The federal, we've got about 30.
Oh, way off.
The state.
Actually,
this. This is important. You get this right.
Yeah.
Yeah, federal grants, we've got
31
34 million, and we'll have another 5 million, so we've got about 39
million. Just shy of $40 million of outside funds that were not a burden to the community to build this facility. That's huge that these guys went to bat that many times, and we struck out a few times. So they just kept going to bat. They kept working relationships. They did a fantastic job. And I just want to say thanks.
Thank you. Amen.
Thanks on behalf of the community for that.
Yes.
Yes.
Any final trustee comments from the board? Okay. Any public comments? No? Okay. We stand adjourned.